Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part one of a five-part series entitled What to Do, with today's specific message entitled What to Do When You Have to Wait, based off of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 32. So, let us dive into the Word today. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the things that have happened there the last few days."
"What things?" Jesus asked.
"The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some of the women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen an angel or angels that had told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them,
"You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all of these things before entering into his glory?"
Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay with us the night, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open, and they recognized him. At that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Amen. There are times in life when we don't know what to do, and we find ourselves having to wait for direction. And in those moments, Jesus calls us to get back to the basics. To get back to the basics. He calls us to the table of grace, to find him in the community. When I was a commissioned provisional elder and in the application process for becoming ordained, I received a packet of all the things that I had to do in order to become ordained. One of those things was that I had to write about a 35-page paper that displayed the ways in which my theology bore fruit in my ministry. Now, to briefly explain, in the Methodist process, you have to go through commissioning, and then a provisional period, and then you go for ordination. So in the commissioning application and paper, they're looking to see what your theology is and to see if you know your theology, if you know your polity, you know all of those things. Then you go into this provisional period where you serve in the church context as a provisional elder or deacon, depending on what route you're going. I went in the elder route. And then after 2 years, you can apply for ordination, which includes another paper. But this time the focus is on, you know, how has your theology played out in your ministry? So it's looking for fruitfulness. I had begun working on it seriously in July. I'd gotten the paperwork by the end of June, sometime in June, and by July I had already started working on it. In fact, it was 2015, and I was even writing during the downtime portions of our family's awesome California vacation. So while everybody else is taking a nap mid-noon, you know, as we're taking a little break from Disney and Anaheim, I'm sitting there typing. I was sitting there typing the paper. So I had put so much work, heart and soul into what I was writing. And by the end of August, beginning of September, my computer crashed. And I lost everything. The drive was unrecoverable. At that point, I had one of two options. I could either try to scramble and rewrite my entire paper, or I could contact the chair of the Board on Ordained Ministry and let her know that I was going to be deferring until next year. And there was a lot of uncertainty there. What would the board think if I did that? You know, like what would be the ramifications if I did that? And then, of course, that would also mean having to wait another whole year, watch some of the people I had journeyed and became friends with get ordained without me. Yet I knew that was ultimately what I should do. Still, it was hard. And what helped me get through that time was the fact that I was surrounded by a loving and supportive community. My family, friends, and mentors all helped give me the encouragement and permission I needed to defer to the following year. And I remember the chairperson of the Board on Ordained Ministry, she was really, really super supportive and understanding and prayerful with me about it. And so I was blessed to have that community. Now, during road trips, kids often ask, "Are we there yet?" Now, I'm pretty sure if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you've heard that question before. Or perhaps even if you're not a parent, you were a child at one time and you asked that question, "Are we there yet?" And as parents, we usually know the answer. We know where we're going and how to get there. Yet we don't give the answer instantly. Oftentimes we deflect the question. "You'll find out when we get there." "We'll get there when we get there." Or just "hold your horses. We'll let you know when we're close." Just like parents, Jesus doesn't give us the answers to our questions right away along life's journey. In fact, it would not ultimately be good for us if he did. Uncertainty, not knowing the answers, actually provides us with a good time for us to claim the big questions in our lives. We find ourselves in such a time of uncertainty right now, a time of waiting with little end in sight. And we see some people handling this waiting better than others. Some people are ready to jump out and head out into society, perhaps prematurely, because they can't take the waiting. But wherever you are right now, I'm going to ask you to write or type, if you're using a phone or computer, write or type in some of the big questions that might be facing you. If you're able and comfortable, add those questions to the comments section of this podcast on lifegivingwatermsg.org. Or if you're not able, say them out loud and offer them up that way. I will pause a moment while you do this. Central themes in Luke and Acts are that God's grace is for everyone. But that grace works through the community of the church. In verses 14 and 15, two disciples are walking, pondering the events surrounding Jesus' death. Suddenly Jesus appears and walks alongside of them, but they do not recognize him. In fact, it says God stopped them from recognizing him. Even when he interprets the scriptures about himself, they do not recognize who he is. Now, that interpretation helped them understand things they could not understand before Jesus' death. However, they still had to wait for the right moment to make sense of the big questions they had. For them, things didn't fully make sense. In fact, it was only when the disciples invited this mysterious man for table fellowship, and Jesus recited the same words that he did at the Last Supper, it was only then that they recognized who he was. Communion, my friends, was then and is now a special place where Jesus' presence is made known to us. It has always been understood as the spiritual food for the journey of life. In this life, as we are searching to find answers for questions, Jesus strengthens us during our struggle, especially when we come together in community. Sometimes in life, we find ourselves in difficult places waiting for answers. In fact, we are in such a time right now. As I speak of communion and community, we are finding ourselves physically distanced from one another. We cannot gather to share in the Eucharistic bread of life or the cup of grace together. We find ourselves in a time of waiting, a time of longing, a time of grieving, and a time of fasting. How long will this fast go on? Are we there yet? None of us know. However, Jesus does know. And just as Jesus showed up along the walk on the road to Emmaus, Jesus puts the right people in our path, not always to give us the answers we want, but to strengthen us along the journey. So keep your eyes open. God is speaking in ways and through people you might never, ever expect. Imagine if we took time to be really present to God's movement in the world around us. A big part of this passage that we read today is about seeing Jesus in the moment. But we aren't the only ones looking for answers, are we? There are people all around us searching for answers too. We all have Emmaus moments. How will we allow Christ to use us to strengthen others around us along the journey? Now, I have a practical way. One such way is you can call up or Zoom or Google Hangout or Facebook video chat or Snapchat video or Skype anyone that you know and walk along this journey digitally with them. But there's another way that you can do it. You can contact your local hospitals and find out whether or not they are accepting handmade masks for healthcare workers who they don't have enough masks for. Or perhaps the hospital chaplain in your local hospital, like ours, is collecting handmade cards to hang up in the hallways to encourage those on the front lines of this pandemic. There are ways to be the church despite having to socially distance. As for the questions you raised earlier in the sermon, and I'm hoping you did, let's commit to praying about them throughout this series. Let's also find ways in which we can think of someone in our community who could use encouragement as they also struggle with those questions. Together, we can lead others to an Emmaus encounter with the living, risen Christ, even if by Zoom, social media, or email for the time being. But remember, We are Christ's community. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, gracious God, for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing, all that you will do. Lord, we put our whole trust in you, and we just know that you are working for the good of all people who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, Lord, as we pray, we just ask that you will strengthen us and help us to rise to the challenge that has been presented today, that we will reach out in various ways to people in our community in the ways that we can in this crazy time, so that we may help lead others to an Emmaus moment where they come to recognize you, Lord, in their lives. And so help us to do those things. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I would like to ask you to check out our episode notes. I'm so glad that you tuned in again to listen to this message. I really am, and I hope you'll check out the episode notes. You'll notice in there are links to the other podcast that I lead, the Party On Johncast, as well as other stuff. If this is your church service for Sunday, you don't have a church that you belong to, there's also a link there if you feel so inclined or called to donate to my church, First United Methodist Church of Newton, New Jersey. That would be very helpful. All churches in this time are struggling, and churches are on a shoestring budget to begin with, and then of course they're all struggling when it comes to this time and how we're navigating through it. I trust in the grace of God, and I know we will get through it, but your support would be much appreciated. If you are listening to this, but you are a member or attend another church, then I would encourage you to give to that church, as your church will need your support just as much as we need the support of those who attend ours. But either way, whatever you can give is helpful to the mission and ministry of the church as we navigate through social distancing. So I do thank you for considering that. This podcast always is and always will be free. But certainly if you want to give, there is a means there in the episode notes. With all that said, friends, I am so thankful for you and for the blessing that you are. So remember, you are richly blessed so that you might be a blessing to others. Go in peace.